us. My name is Dan. It's my privilege to serve as pastor here at this among this church family, and also to serve among so many willing and gifted servants that are helping us gather together, kids being taught by kids workers, our music being led by gifted and very able musicians, and also all the different small and big ways that our church family serves together. So thank you for doing that, and it's a privilege to kind of walk through this season together. And happy Father's Day, by the way, everybody. Haven't had a chance to mention that. Hope that you are doing anything and everything that you are needing and wanting and able to do to help either connect with your dad, remember your dad, or serve your dad, or in whatever way possible. One of the things we think about here is how to help dads. We have a means by which we help men exercise their spiritual leadership muscles. And there's a small group environment called Fight Clubs. If you're a man or dad here looking to kind of involve yourself in a group of men who are exercising their spiritual leadership muscles, then we have a path called Fight Clubs that we'd love to tell you more about. You can find out more about that right on our church app. Go to Get Connected and then look under the tab. There's a list there called Find a Group, and you will see Men's Fight Clubs, and you can inquire for more information on that, and we'll get you some more info on how to get connected with other men that are kind of learning and growing together. So we hope you take advantage of that. I remember so fondly my father, reminded all week and thinking quite a bit about my dad. My dad was a, his name is Harold Charles Williams, and he gave me his first and middle name. So my name is Daniel Harold Charles Williams, and my dad tells this great story about when he was being named in 1929, he told us that his parents were trying to decide between Harold and Robert. And they decided to call him Harold because Robert was so old-fashioned. Isn't that a great story? And, of course, my dad, I remember my very so many things about my dad. But my dad was a do-it-yourself guy. He was an auto mechanic type of person. That was his hobby. It wasn't his career, but it was his hobby. I could probably pick my dad out of a lineup of men that are halfway underneath a car and their legs are sticking out. I could tell you which dad was my dad. And my dad worked on cars until they were so computerized, he would say, you have to be a rocket scientist to fix them now. So that's when he retired. He hung up his tools, all, I think, 8.5 tons of tools. He hung them up when he could no longer keep up with the computer inside the cars. But my dad, before he passed away in 2013, he kind of had some tools that were being stored, several toolboxes full of tools, and my dad left them for me in hopes that I would be able to use his tools. And of course, every time I use one of those tools, which he had a lot, he had so many tools that I remember telling my dad, Dad, I just got a quick question. You could do what you want because you're a grown man, but I don't understand why you have like 3 toolboxes of tools. You have so many tools in your minivan that you're driving around with you that your minivan is like this shape driving around. It drives around the back end down, the front end up, and I don't understand why you don't just store your tools, but you could do what you want. You're my dad. I don't care what you do, but I'm just curious. And he said, I have tools stored in both places. I have them in the shed, and I also have a set of tools, 3 toolboxes, just in case I need to repair my Ford, found on road dead. If I have to repair my Ford, I've got my tools with me. And so it was actually strategic that he kept his tools with me. But he passed his on to me, and I keep mine securely stored in the shed. And every time I use a tool, I can't help but think of my dad. Every time I turn a wrench, every time I do anything around the house, anytime I open the hood of my car and fix it by looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, I am reminded of my father. And he had the idea that if he gave me his tools, then I would be able to love and serve my family the way that he served and loved his family by fixing things that are broken. And that every time, and this is what's happened, that every time I use those tools, I think of my dad. I think of how he cared for us. I think of how he did it yourself with those, remember those old Chilton, any of you remember those Chilton auto repair books that were the size of, I think, an entire encyclopedia in some cases, but he'd sit there with his that book on his lap, studying how to figure out how to fix the car. So by giving me his tools and by using his tools, I have found that I'm able to kind of connect with my dad, help kind of keep my dad alive, and also to care for my family the way that he cared for his family. Now, I say that to say, in thinking about how that affects my life in my faith and in our church family, you can be sure that when Jesus was planning that he was going to no longer be with his church body, you can be sure that Jesus did the thinking, the working, and the inventing of how to make sure that his church family is able to love and care and honor him and care for people in the world so that they could do the same kinds of healing, serving, loving, and helping that he did. And every time that you and I, as a part of God's church, were to do that, we would bring honor and glory to Jesus. How? By using the tools that he left us to care for people, to care for the world, to care for his church family. And he has done everything that he did on earth. He left us the ability to do what he did. And by doing those things, we experience him, we remember him, and ultimately we bring glory to Jesus. By the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus equips his church with special abilities. And those special abilities demonstrate and they remind the world of who he is and how he worked to love and serve his people. And Jesus intended that you and I would do the same things he did in the world. He would do those very same things. And we have a God-given mission to help Jesus come alive to the people that God has surrounded us with. So how are we to do this? How are we supposed to do what Jesus did? How is the Holy Spirit working in and through his church? He does so through something called spiritual gifts. He does so through something called spiritual gifts. And let's take a look at what that means, because there are so many passages in the New Testament that describe the work of the Holy Spirit, who he is and what he's doing in his church. And what he's doing in his church, he's doing through the special gifts that are defined this way. They are special or natural abilities that are dedicated to Jesus, and they're enhanced or empowered by the Spirit. And they are for building up the church, helping to make Jesus famous in the body and beyond. The Spirit helps us build up his church, and he makes himself known to us. How does he do that? Through spiritual gifts. They are designed to accomplish the mission. So unless the church is functioning in these special abilities, in these special gifts, it can be said that the church family isn't really functioning as a healthy body. So let's read these together, because there's so many different ways that these are described, and these are so many different ways these spiritual gifts are mentioned here in the New Testament. But there's a couple of passages I want to highlight. So let's look at what Paul says about them in 1 Corinthians, and then we're going to look at what Peter says in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4. So we'll start at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verses 4 through 6. Therefore, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. And then skip over, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you're following along in your notes, you'll see that in your handout or online, or you can see it on the screen behind me. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So where do these gifts come from? Well, we got to back up. And so to get a proper understanding here, we got to kind of zoom back and take an overview look, and we'll start here. We'll start with what George Wood in the book that we're selling describes so perfectly, and here's how we'll do it. We'll back up and see that God has done something unique. He has poured out his Holy Spirit, and The big picture is that God has poured out his Holy Spirit to fill his church with the overflowing power they need to go and show Jesus to the world, to all the world. So if you were to back up, here's what you would see, that God has done a pouring out project or mission, and in that pouring out, he has poured out his Holy Spirit to fill his church with overflowing power to accomplish something, and that is to go and show everyone who and what Jesus has accomplished. Or I like to say it this way, to go and show Jesus to the world in a way that helps make him famous. So the Spirit is the one who has been poured out to help us go and show Jesus to all the world. And Jesus describes, or this is described by Luke, actually, in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. And if you're not from a church background like ours, this may have been a passage that's kind of missed you or skipped you over the years. But in Acts 1, verse 8, Luke says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Okay, there's this picture that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, meaning you will have this power, and you'll have this power to be witnesses, to identify or to help people see, to be evidence of that Jesus is real and his work in the world is real. And that is called power to be witnesses. Where would that be? Well, it would be everywhere. You'd be a witness everywhere. You'd have the power to be a witness in Jerusalem, the city, Judea, the outskirts, and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth, where Jesus said, "But I will be with you." How am I going to be with you? By the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. My Spirit will empower you and will go and lead you no matter where you're going. I'm already there at work by my Spirit. So if you want to discover what the church is about, we would have to know what Jesus is about. Jesus is about bringing glory to the Father. Jesus is about seeking and saving the lost, making disciples and renewing his creation, ultimately returning one day to rule and reign over all things. And where the head of the church goes, the body goes too, right? So our church body only goes and does the things that the head of the church, Jesus, goes and does. So what is the mission of a church? What is our mission? We don't invent our mission. We don't have some kind of creative day. We're trying to create a mission. Here's what we did. We just said, what is the mission that Jesus leaves with us? And he said, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and help them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, help them grow up and become disciple makers. So our mission here is to make reproducing disciples, to do that in a church that's multiplying through fruitfulness and health, to accomplish the supernatural purposes that God has for us. Do you know what he gave us? Supernatural power. Supernatural power. Why would we need supernatural power? Because the purpose, the mission that we have is so supernatural, it's so big, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, that we need the infilling or the overflow of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did something specific. And you have this in your notes as number one. Jesus gives his body, the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." And then Jesus goes on to say, Luke documents in the book of Acts, Jesus saying things like this. Now, don't leave Jerusalem, okay? Don't leave too soon. Stay there. You've already been baptized in the baptism of John for repentance, but I'm telling you, you will now be baptized with and in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, there's a description. I want to read it to you. Listen to this. This is how the Holy Spirit was poured out, and this is what it was like when the Holy Spirit was poured out by Jesus to his church. "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." And then the supernatural mission of reaching the world now had gained a supernatural power to do that. And the reason why the world is being reached for Jesus, the reason why the church is on mission being sent around the world, is by the power of the Holy Spirit to cause that to happen. The explosion of the early church. Now, the Spirit was given primarily to glorify Jesus. The Spirit was not given to make sure that we had enhanced experiences as a church body so that we felt good or otherwise felt spiritual. The Holy Spirit arrived, was poured out, so that you and I would be a part of what the Spirit's doing to glorify Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to Jesus. Probably or arguably the Holy Spirit's most important work. We know that God gives good gifts, right? He gave us the good gift of eternal life. He also gives the good gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there are so many examples in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit gives the good gift of special abilities or spiritual gifts. So you see how God gave Jesus, Jesus gives the Spirit, and then we see him as a gift giver giving the church, or through the Holy Spirit, giving us these frequently mentioned gifts, frequently mentioned by Luke and Peter and Paul, and they talk about spiritual gifts or special abilities. And the gifts of the Spirit, which the church functions, are really the gifts that Jesus gives to his body, right? We recognize that Jesus has all the special abilities. He has all of the spiritual gifts that are listed in the New Testament. They are resident in Christ. Now, the key to understanding them is this, that these spiritual gifts, therefore, are a perpetuation of Jesus' life and ministry. So the reason these gifts came to us from Jesus was so that what he did can continue. Who he was can continue. All of the evidences and the demonstrations of compassion and care and love and encouragement and strengthening and edification, they could continue on after he left. So to understand this properly requires us to understand that it's just the ongoing, perpetual ministry of Jesus through the local church. It's not necessarily Jesus ministering to the church or in the church, but through the church, through these special abilities that Jesus gave. Now, as the gifts are resident in Jesus and they are expressed to his body, there's this fascinating passage in the book of Psalms that is referred to by Paul in Ephesians. And in the Psalms, the psalmist writes that there is this hero, this triumphant conqueror, and he takes the hill in this dramatic battle, and he's the winner. And behind the winner, the conqueror, the hero, there is a train of captives which he has taken captive in the battle, and they have followed him up the hill. And the psalmist says, those captives gave the hero gifts. Now, isn't that, can you picture that? Can you picture that those who have been conquered now present gifts to those who conquered them, those who took them captive? But in the book of Ephesians, I hope you can follow this. In the book of Ephesians, Paul references this by quoting the Psalms, this exact psalm. But he changes a word. He actually gives it a little bit of a change as he thinks about who Jesus is. And here's what he says. He said that this conqueror, this hero, this victor, he ascended the hill, and now he stands atop the hill as the victor. And those who follow him in his train, who he has taken captive, he does not receive gifts from them. But instead, the hero, the conqueror, the victor turns, and he gives gifts to the captives. And Paul captures the heart of Jesus being the gift giver, the one who is deserved gifts, the one who should be receiving them from his captives, but instead he in turn humbly gives gifts to empower those people whom he had just taken captive. Of course, in the gospel terms, had just set free. So now there's a person who conquers, who's set upon a throne, and there are people who are receiving the gifts from Jesus. So how do we get these gifts from Jesus? How do they get from Jesus to us? I have this brilliant idea that it would be far more, if God would have let me design this, I would have designed a much more fun way of receiving gifts. You remember those money booths? You ever seen those on TV? The money booths where you get in the glass container and the fan blows the cash around. Have you seen those? I'm assuming none of you have ever been in any of those, but I suppose you may have. But here's the idea. You're in this glass booth and the fan's blowing the cash around and you're trying to gather as much as you can in a certain amount of time. And then when the time is up, whatever cash you grabbed, you keep. It's yours. So I had this idea as a pastor. How fun would it be on special Sundays to put the gifts of the Spirit, all the spiritual gifts, in a glass booth, put you up here and blow them around and just have you start grabbing them. And whatever ones you grab, that's what you own. And then if you grab the celibacy gift, we pray for you. Send you out into the world. But this isn't how it happens. You don't randomly get a gift. You aren't assigned a gift by your church family. You don't get gifts given to you by your parents. Your parents don't have a coming of age weekend where they bestow upon you a gift. Here's what we learned, that the Holy Spirit knows you and has enabled you with a specific gift that he has given specifically to you, for you to use, a special ability that's yours as gifted to you uniquely by the Holy Spirit. A special ability. And if you're aware of what your special ability is, here's what you can count on. That the Holy Spirit has apportioned that gift carefully to you and personally to you. The Holy Spirit, number two, gives a special gift to every believer. Every believer who has been regenerated and born again has received among the indwelling Spirit a gift, a special ability given by the Holy Spirit. And he glorifies Jesus by giving all believers the gifts that continue his ministry. The gifts of the Spirit, are really given from Jesus through the Spirit to fulfill the mission of the church. However, Paul says, he has given each of you, each one of you, a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the equipper. He doesn't just equip us to live Christ-like, but he gives us what we need. He empowers us and equips us to serve like Jesus. And the gift is just simply another way to say it's the way that Jesus manifests himself. The grace of God is manifest in the body by all the special abilities that demonstrate the character, nature, and caring approach of Jesus. That it is simply the manifestation of God's gift, God's grace, in and among his people. A spiritual gift is essentially an act of God's Spirit that exist to edify, encourage, strengthen, sharpen, comfort, that the gifts exist for the purpose of the common building up and strengthening, the common good of the church family, and that the whole church is strengthened because the whole church has received a gift to contribute. And we experience this in so many ways every time we get together, that there's these spiritual gifts or these natural or special abilities that are dedicated to Jesus. They're enhanced and empowered by the Spirit to build up his church and make himself known. That means that if the church was not given gifts, there would be nothing special about the body of Christ. There would be nothing special, and nobody would be serving someone else. Everybody would be serving themselves if God did not think to do this. And the Spirit himself distributes to all believers all these gifts. They're given by his individual sovereign will. And you've got a list of these. To help it kind of be more concrete, you've got a list of what the Scripture describes as the special gifts on the back of your notes. If you've got a handout today, on the back of your notes, you'll see the list. There's three separate categories plus some additional gifts. Now, here's what you need to know. Number one, these were never intended, and scholars, biblical scholars agree that these were never intended to be all-inclusive. This is not the exhaustive list of every gift that God has made available. In fact, if you're a musician sitting out there looking for your gift on that list, you're kind of like, well, what? What just happened? I got to start over. Well, not just your gift, but there's other special abilities that are not on the list. But the intention is to say, for Paul to say, here are some examples of what God is gifting people with. Here are some examples. These are the ways in which, through these special abilities of the motivational gifts, the spiritual gifts, and the ministry gifts, and also some additional gifts, it helps the church kind of be made up of all sorts of people doing all kinds of things by the hand of God. So he makes himself come alive in his body by giving these gifts out, and all believers have one. Everybody who's been born again, regenerated, put their faith in Jesus, experience this, where God's grace is evident in the people for the common good. And the Spirit provides these to kind of show the living and moving body of Christ. As the gifts are functioning, the body of Jesus is kind of functioning. There's this diverse and unified body that's at work, and everyone, all of them are functioning. The body is many different parts functioning as one body. We teach this to my little kids, my little ones in my home, when we start with one of their very first roles and responsibilities, maybe not a spiritual gift, but we start to help them see that they have a way to contribute, is they clear the table. So if mom and dad are going to work to provide the meal and prepare the meal, then they're going to sit there and enjoy the meal. When it's time for the meal to, when the meal is ended and it's time to clean up after the meal, our kids from the very littlest age had this responsibility to clear the table. And I tell you, what an absolute painful process to watch them try to tell us why they were unable to do it. Because they just were not very good at it. And also, we're bigger and older and can carry the heavy stuff. And on they went as we watched them tell us why they can't contribute. And isn't it true that most adult parents don't receive any of those excuses, because if you can enjoy it, then you can help. If you can consume it, you can contribute. If you can participate, then you can certainly, in the consumption of that meal, you can certainly participate in the work of cleaning up after that meal. So we've gone through all of our kids from the littlest time, and they all get the job, and eventually they get proficient at it. Eventually, at all different ages, they learn that we don't have to go chase them somewhere and bring them back to the table. Eventually, they learn they have something to contribute. And in large part, the body of Christ, the church family, functions the same way. God does not accept, "I couldn't contribute. I can't contribute. I am unable to at this particular time to contribute." All family members have something to offer, and we teach our kids this by having them clear the table. You have something to offer. You can do something to help. And when you do that, it makes the family healthier. All of us do something to contribute to the family's work. Number three, all believers give their special gift to help make Jesus famous in the church body and beyond. So get this, Jesus gives us the gift of the Spirit that is given to the church, and then the Spirit gives all believers a gift to use in the body, and then the believers who have this gift give it to the body. And that's how there is unified health in a church family. Now, a lot of churches look like they're struggling. In our culture, in our country, and beyond, there's a lot of churches that look like they're really struggling. And I would like to make the case that probably more churches are actually lame than dead. There's less churches dying, and there's more churches limping. And by limping, I mean they have people who are involved in the church who are consuming from the church without contributing to the church family. They are receiving, not giving. They are willing to accept the contribution of other people's special abilities without contributing their own special abilities. And it causes a church family maybe not to die right away, but to be in this unhealthy, limping, lame stage. Now, how many of you discovered over the last recent years there's a part of your body that's beginning to fail? Anybody could think of one or more parts of your body. Have you been surprised as I am, as to how little it takes to throw you off? I mean, I have this thing going on, this little slip disc in my back, and every now and then it flares up in such a way that I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I can't even walk straight. There's parts of my body that are twisting and turning just to compensate. Yesterday, I sat on the couch too long. Do you think I was going to fall off there? Anybody notice that? Yesterday, I sat on that soft couch too long, and when I get up from the soft couch, it's not only my disc, but then I get this band thing right here that doesn't work anymore, and I start this terrible-looking limp, and then I start telling my family, I can't do anything to help you. I can't work anymore. I'm going on disability probably for only 5 years, but I also can't cook meals, so you're going to have to take care of me. I start thinking crazy things like, this little limp is shutting my whole life down. I remember when I hurt my hand and I thought, I had no idea how often and how much depends on using all of my fingers. Some of you have an injury in your toe, your joint, your back, your whatever injury you have, and you've started to wrestle with this idea, the idea that it only takes a little bit to take you out of the game. And here's what we learn in the church body, that all it takes for the church body to go lame, to have this noticeable limp, where they're unable to actually contribute to the mission that God has set us apart to achieve. The only thing it takes is for some of the church body to decide, I can't contribute. I'm not contributing. I'm unable to contribute. I have a special gift, but my special gift is for myself. I'm going to keep it for myself. God intended for all of us who are believers who have special abilities to find a way to contribute those special abilities. And it doesn't mean you wait to hear how the church leadership is going to make these opportunities available. That means you are functioning in the body naturally and normally among people, and you're helping to contribute with what you can contribute. And those contributions that you have, God has given you that ability. This is how Peter says it. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. And then he says, use them well to serve one another. Not half-heartedly, not half-baked, not occasionally, not when you get the time. But he means you schedule your life around your investment and contribution of your special abilities. And that's what it looks like to be a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church who has filled the church body with gifts, and those gifts are being shared and invested and given. You have a Spirit-given, unique, special ability that you're expected to invest to help strengthen the church. And every minute that we have a church family that's not doing that, we have a lame or limping church body that is not healthy. And you might say, Pastor, I don't really have much to contribute. I don't have a big, noticeable, a high-impact gift. You'll notice on that list there's gifts that are important that are big and small, not just the ones that are public and highly noticed, like the speaking gift or a music gift or a teaching gift, but also the gift of helps. Aren't you glad somebody in our church family is gifted with the gift of helps that knows how to make coffee on Sunday mornings, that knows how to load up and cut up some donuts and serve them to dads on Father's Day and every Sunday? Aren't you glad that somebody has a gift and is giving it to the church family who is able to help? That means that no matter what you have, what gift you've been given, you in fact have the responsibility and the joy of giving it. And when you give, the body benefits. Now, the beginner question in the church family is this: what does this church have for me and my family? That's the beginner question. What is it that this church family has? What special abilities are circulating in this church family? And what do they have to give to me? Let me give you a better question and a more mature question, and it's this: what opportunities are there in the church family for me to give the special ability that God's given me? Where can I give? Where can I contribute? But some of the questions that really, really hinder a church are questions related to what I can receive. Now, there are some ways in which you can discover your giftedness, some ways in which. If you don't already know what your special ability is or how God has uniquely gifted you, then we want to help you do that. How can you serve your church family or any church family that you belong to when you're together? There's a pastor named Juan Sanchez, and Juan Sanchez said there's some five real simple ways. Let me read these to you. Number one, discover the church body's needs. Sometimes the needs of the church body are sent to you via email. We have a Pastor Yon mentioned it this morning. There's some people, they've had a new baby, and there's a family with a newborn, and they need some meals, or a surgery, and they need some meals. Sometimes those needs are sent to you, but other times you just know they exist because you are living life with somebody, and you know they're moving from here to there, and they need some help moving. Or you're just familiar with people, and you know what people need. Number two, pray. Pray. Now, if you're a dad here, you might say, you know what, I want to help lead my family spiritually, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that God shows me how I can use my special ability and contribute it to the church. And in doing so, I'm going to model and mentor what it looks like to be a healthy, thriving part of a church family. And so many of you, so many men and dads have done that in our church family. Number three, ask, what do I enjoy doing? I always thought when I was young that if you did something for God, you hated it. And that it could only be for God if you hated it. And if you didn't hate it, it wasn't really for God. I really thought that. Honestly, I thought that. As I got older, I started to realize God enhances and empowers those natural abilities that he's made you and wired you with, and then he uses them to glorify himself, not necessarily only make a living for yourself or a career for yourself or a name for yourself. That God is at work, working through us in the natural abilities that how many of you would admit, that's a big relief that you don't have to go discover an unnatural special ability. Isn't that a relief? That I'm good at something because God made me good at something, and he wants to use that something that he made me good at, and I could do it semi-effortlessly because I'm naturally pretty good at it. And then, as a spiritual gift, God works in it and through it to enhance it. So we ask the question, what do I enjoy doing? Number four, seek godly counsel. Ask someone. Talk to a church leader. We're more than willing to hear from you and to talk to you about where and how you might be spiritually enabled or gifted or have a special ability. What do I, and then we would love to help counsel you on what that is. Also, you might have a mature friend or family member. You might have a Bible study leader or teacher that you depend on and have a relationship with. You can get counsel from anyone in these areas of finding your special ability. Number five, don't just sit there, do something. Serve someone. Serve somewhere. Especially if you're someone who is prone to think, I only help behind the scenes. I don't know exactly how to really make an impact. Or I thought I was making an impact, but it's nothing special. Let me ask you a question. And this is how the body is supposed to work. Because Paul describes that the body, every part is functioning. And if every part isn't functioning, then I already mentioned this, it's lame or limping, right? There's a lack of health. And if you think that you have a gift or an ability that you want to contribute and it's not very helpful, then I want to ask you this, and I want you to think of this. The next time you go to the operating room and you're getting yourself operated on, wouldn't you agree that you want the most qualified, highly reputable, skilled, wide-awake surgeon who's available? Would you agree with me? Let me ask you a question. Which is more important, having a that kind of surgeon or the housekeeper was on duty the day before to clean the utensils that the surgeon is going to use? Let me ask you a question. Which is more valuable and more important in an operating room, the surgeon or the housekeeping staff? You know that surgeon who's going to do surgery on you, who's world-renowned? Here's my hope. If that's me, I hope the housekeeping showed up and cleaned the utensils the night before. Because I don't want that surgeon, no matter how reputable they are, operating on me with dirty utensils. I also don't want the housekeeper to show up with his nice and clean utensils and have me go, so where's the surgeon? Oh, we don't really need the surgeon. I'm the housekeeper. I'm really good at what I do. These utensils are the cleanest. They're the most thoroughly washed in the Northeast. I don't really care, right? Here's what I hope you see, that there is a mutual codependent relationship between these gifts. The gifts are equally as important. One works with the next, and they don't work without the other. All the helps, all the platform, all the high profile, all the low profile, all those gifts work together to bring what? To bring health. To bring health. We do this in our families all the time, not just teaching our kids to clear the table, but we do it all the time with the functions and roles that each of us have in our family. We want to help you discover your spiritual gifts. One of the ways that we do that is that we offer this training track that Pastor Yon mentioned called Roots. It's coming up in July, and we just start to kind of introduce you to, you can discover your gift, and you can start the process, or at least sharpen and hone the process of what it looks like to discover what your special ability is and be a contributor, not just a consumer, where you can get down on the field and start to make the sacrifices and do some sweating in order to contribute. Because the church body is more like an army serving in battle, and every soldier has a role and responsibility, and it's not supposed to be the movie theater where people go and sit down and watch somebody perform or entertain or watch someone else's giftedness. The church body is never intended to be a movie theater. It's a battle, and the soldiers are engaged, and there's an army intact, and that army is doing every single part of the role and responsibility that they've been given. Now, there's some warnings, too. I got a whole list of warnings, and for the sake of time, I'm only going to mention one. Be careful not to prefer giftedness over love. Paul says that even if you've got people in your church family who can speak with tongues of men and of angels, they have the faith that can take mountains and move the mountains. They understand the universe's mysteries, but they don't love. They are annoying people in the body of Christ. They are annoying to God. They are alarming and irritating to God. In fact, he says that above all the spiritual gifts, the way to glorify me best is to love people. love, special abilities, of all of them prefer prophecy, the speaking the truth. But Paul says, always embrace and raise up. I mean, it would be so obvious, I think, that over time, when a church is gifted but unloving. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to settle into a church somewhere and they're going to be one or the other, I'll take the loving church over the wildly gifted church. Would you? I hope so. The loving church. Now, the good news is that here at North Central, here in our North Central church family, we have recognized that we have both. We have gifted people and we have love. And we want to help you see that love does more to glorify Jesus than any of the gifts do. Recently, we lost unexpectedly one of our church attenders. Her name is Kathy Homer, and she was unexpectedly ill for about a little over a week, and then we lost her, and she passed away. And our relationship with her and trying to reach and care for and love on her family, we offered to help with and do the funeral, and we did the small funeral over at a funeral home, and then after that, we had invited them to a meal that we would provide and we would host. And our church family here, Sharon Schutt and Linda Rady and Tammy Collins and Joyce Heil, did the bulk of the work to help host a meal with their hospitality gift, with their administration gift, and then shortly after, loving on Kathy Homer's kids and her family in whatever way we knew how, with compassion. I received a text message from one of Kathy's daughters, and here's what she said. Thank you again for everything that everyone did for our family. We really appreciated it. I'm glad my mom had found a second family that loved and cared for her. My siblings and I didn't understand at first because our different experiences that we had with religion when we were growing up. But now, after seeing how caring you all were to all of us, when you don't even know us, now we understand. We can see why faith and her faith family was so important to her. Just a handful of people, hospitality, administration, compassion, put their gifts together, and someone who doesn't quite yet know who Jesus is saw Jesus come alive to them because of the special abilities of special people, of very unspecial people that they expressed just like that. Love plus special abilities means that Jesus' mission goes on and people are around the North Central Church family, and here's what they're discovering, that love is our highest goal and that, in fact, Jesus is alive and that we take seriously that he's given us his mission and the power of the Spirit to accomplish it. Let's pray.